welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Felix.
So let's just get this right out the gate. Why is Comic Sans such a point of contention so many years down the line since its inception?
Oh, heavens. I'm going to be really unpopular with some of your listeners, I suspect. But as a typographer, and probably speaking on behalf of all designers, I suggest that Comic Sans is probably one of the most despised commercially available fonts. I personally don't like it. I have never used it, except to show sometimes why I don't like it. Mm-hmm. In fact, if you do go online, there is a complete hate campaign that targets Comic Sans.
Oh, absolutely.
The most famous being Ban Comic Sans, which has got quite a fan following. Mm. In fact, it could be claimed that, in fact, when you talk about Comic Sans, there is an infamy in Comic Sans. Mm. And if you think back to the 1964 Carry On Cleo film in which Kenneth Williams played Julius Caesar, his classic line was, "Infamy, infamy, they've all got it in for me." Mm. And I suspect that's actually sometimes how Comic Sans feels.
Yeah.
It's a novice magnet. US designer Mark Simonson wrote that actually some fonts act as novice magnets, and I think that in many ways, people that don't understand type are essentially drawn to Comic Sans. It has aspirations to be a typeface, but it looks handwritten, has no structure, letters are at odd angles, and it's all about fun. You might use it for a kid's birthday party, but not for anything else.
Yeah, I mean, I have heard that one of the more useful implications of Comic Sans is that because it is so inconsistent, it's actually very easy relative to other fonts for people with dyslexia to read. I've also heard that because it is such a unique typeface, when it is shrunk down very small, it actually maintains its fidelity very well. Do you think that's why it's had such longevity despite the hatred?
I think probably not. I actually think it's got such longevity, and it's really longevity. It's been around since 1994, 1995. Mm. It lasts because it is one of the few hand-drawn children-like fonts that still exist within computers. I think it came out in Windows 95, and it was one of those first digital hand-drawn fonts that people felt that they actually could be drawn to. But the problem is usually how it's used.
Yeah. So when it comes to the inclusion of hand-drawn fonts, what is the logic behind the inclusion there? You know, why is nothing else really quite stepped up to the plate to match up with Comic Sans in terms of reputation, if that's something that people actually want to have?
It depends what we mean by reputation. If it's reputation for being a hated font, then probably Papyrus, as a hand-drawn style of font, is probably slightly behind it, but probably catching up.
Oh, yeah.
People like hand-drawn fonts. People don't write and use handwriting much any longer. Mm. So people that are playing around with type like that little bit of non-digital.
Yeah.
It looks as if it's hand-drawn. But for designers, it's bad.
So does that aesthetic tend to influence what the text can say, you know, compared to if it was written in the same words in a different font? Do we interpret things differently on account of that?
Oh, heavens, yes. Fonts are like voices. Every font, every typeface has its own tone. They've got cadence. They visually speak in a visual voice that's appropriate to, but should essentially enhance the message. So we have multiple fonts available to us, but the advent of the computer suddenly meant that people no longer had to use their own handwriting, and they had access to a choice of fonts, which compared to the typewriter only provided one. So people started to use default fonts, oftentimes New Roman, or started to select other options. But the problem is, if you simply use fonts without considering the message you wish to convey, it's a bit like pressing random play on a digital music player, that you suddenly find that the choice of music or the choice of font is not appropriate for the mood or the situation or the message that you're trying to convey. So Helvetica, you could claim, is as much a default font as Comic Sans, but it's clean, it's Swiss in style, its personality doesn't override the message. And that's the problem. Comic Sans' character overrides the message.
Uh-huh. So it sounds, as you've said, you're not a huge fan of the font. Do you think that there is an appropriate place for it, or do you think that people should be looking into alternatives like Comic New, for example, that have a similar aesthetic but are much more consistent and easy to read for the most of us?
I think if you're designing for a child's party invitation, it's fine. Mm. If you're designing for comics, that's fine. But very few messages that you'd actually want to use it for would it work for. This is the thing. Reading and writing are not as simple as everyone thinks. What an author writes, the typeface expresses. Mm. So you need to think very carefully, what would a hand-drawn, childlike font actually express about the message? If it is a message that is conveying childlikeness, that is fine.
Well, fantastic. Louise, thank you very much for joining us. As a firm defender of Comic Sans, I'm going to out myself here. As a firm defender of Comic Sans, I have to let you know that this has been tough for me, but I appreciate your input, and I think that your perspective on it is incredibly valued. So thank you very much for joining us.
My absolute pleasure, Felix. Have a good day.